The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May the 11th through Sunday, May 17th, 2026. The commentary for May was written by Porter Taylor, a lifelong Episcopalian who served as the sixth bishop of the Diocese of Western North Carolina. He is the author of three books, including his latest, Are You Persuaded? In and Out of Being a Bishop. He is married to Joe, and they live in Asheville, North Carolina. The commentary for Monday, May 11th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew. And he told them many things in parables. It is on this day, May 11th, that we celebrate Johann Arndt and Jacob Bean. We also celebrate the first of Rogation Days, a period of special prayer in Western Christianity leading up to the Feast of the Ascension. Here's the commentary. In high school, I only cared about sports and girls until I met Julia Capps. She taught 11th grade English. I wasn't interested until she read a poem by John Keats. Beauty is truth, and truth is beauty. That is all. Ye know on earth, and all you need to know. With those words, my life changed. It was like entering a new world. Before Miss Capps, the only books I read were crime books by Mickey Spillane. I began to read more and more poetry, and while I still played sports, they were no longer the center of my life. When Jesus told parables, he pushed people out of their comfort zone, and the recordings they had looped in their heads. Just as the poetry of Keats transformed my life, the parables of Jesus opened new worlds for his followers, then and for us today. Stories connect us to one another, helping us see our individual stories and inviting us into the sacred story. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 16. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And the moving forward question for this Monday, May 11th, what story has deepened your faith? The commentary for Tuesday, May 12th, also Rogation Day, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 23. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. Rogation days occur on the 3 days preceding Ascension Day. Their focus is on preparing the fields for planting. The Book of Common Prayer offers prayers for these days, reminding us that we pray not only for the harvest, but also so that we who constantly receive good things from thy hand may always give thee thanks. During this Holy Eucharist, as the offerings are collected and the bread and wine are on the altar, the priest often says, "All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee." For me, the key phrase here is all things. As an alcoholic, it took me some time in sobriety to admit that I am a grateful alcoholic. As I became sober, I realized that sobriety is a gift from God. That knowledge has widened my sense of grace in my life and in this world. Too often we limit Holy Communion to a Eucharistic event in church buildings. Rogation is not merely about planting fields. It's about realizing that God's grace abounds. Perhaps we should celebrate Rogation Day every day. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. And the moving forward suggestion for this Tuesday, May 12th, thank God for all that you have received. Now the commentary for Wednesday, May 13th, the day on which we commemorate Francis Perkins, and also we celebrate another Rogation Day of Prayer. This begins with a passage from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8a. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. The Catechism in the Episcopal Church defines redemption as the act of God which sets us free from the power of evil, sin, and death. God sent prophets to call us back to himself. God calls us to let go of our false self and embrace our true self. My experience is that redemption is both addition and subtraction. Recently, I was told I have Alzheimer's disease. As someone who has spent a lifetime at the pulpit, my greatest fear is losing the ability to preach and teach. Yet even as I deliver fewer sermons than before, my faith has grown, and I see every day as a blessing. The disease has called me back to my true self and to focus on what I have and not what I don't. My life may be smaller, but it is deeper as I find different riches of grace. And now I'm going to read this full book from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, how is God calling you to embrace your true self? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, May 14th, a day on which we commemorate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to heaven. It begins with a passage from Acts chapter 1, verse 8a, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." After his resurrection, Jesus appears often to the disciples during the 40 days before his ascension, which we mark today, May 14th this year. He speaks about the kingdom of God, equipping them for the future and assuring them that they will receive power. Lest they forget, as they are gazing to heaven as Jesus is ascending, two strangers appear and remind the disciples of Jesus' promise that he will be with them. So much of our lives is between the past and the promised future, and it's in these in-between times where our faith often grows. We do what we are called to do and then wait to see God's response. The longer we are alive, the more we experience these in-between times. For me, it was waiting to adopt two children. It was waiting to see if the bishop would make me a candidate for holy orders. It was sitting with my father in intensive care, waiting to see if he would live. It was wondering what to do when I resigned as the bishop of Western North Carolina. At some point, we learn to accept this pattern of waiting for God. This acceptance not only diminishes our anxiety, but it can also greatly deepen our faith. And now I am going to read the story of the ascension from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, which is Ascension Day in Christianity, are you in between times? Turn to God for strength and for peace. Now the commentary for Friday, May 15th, the day on which we commemorate Pachomius of Tabernisi. It begins with a passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Pachomius was one of the founders of monasticism. He was born in Egypt, and he was not a Christian. However, as a soldier, he met some Christians, and upon returning to a village in Egypt, he converted to Christianity. An encounter with some ascetics prompted his decision to become a monk, and after some time, God told him to establish a monastery around 325 in the Common Era. Before Pachomius, male and female monastics lived individually in huts or caves, meeting only occasionally for worship. Pachomius developed the idea of monastic community that continues today, with monastics living under one roof and their property held in common. Initially, Pachomius thought of himself as a soldier, but God in Christ through the Holy Spirit had other ideas. "I too changed how I thought about myself. I began as an English professor, but I soon discovered that I cared more about my students than about my subject matter. And so I began the discernment process to become an Episcopal priest." And now I'm going to read the full reading of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of the works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. And the moving forward question for today, think about what you are being called to be and to do. What is the first step that you can take toward that calling? The commentary for Saturday, May 16th, begins with a passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. But now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. Here's the commentary. I loved my father, and he loved me, but sometimes he didn't understand why I kept going to school, 4 degrees in total. He once told me I was the most overeducated, underpaid person he knew. As a result, the space between us grew. One day when I was in my 40s, I got a call from my mother saying, "Come to us, your dad is dying." He was in a coma, and my brother, sister, and I took turns sitting by the bedside. On a Wednesday afternoon, I was with my father, just the two of us. I told him how much I loved him and how sorry I was for the space between us. Suddenly, I felt the dividing wall break down, and God's peace filled the room. Somewhat later, I realized that this is one of the ways that Christ works. He is our peace, but we must take a step to receive it. And now I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, what steps do you need to take to break down the dividing wall? As you discern, spend time with Jesus in prayer and study. Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of this program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, May 17th, the seventh Sunday of Easter. It begins with a passage from Acts chapter 1, verses 11a. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking toward heaven? The disciples don't exactly know what to do after the crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus answers some of their questions, but mainly he points to a future that probably still seems unknown. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Naturally, when Jesus is lifted up, they gaze at heaven. But these words from two strangers remind them to get back to the matters at hand, namely devoting themselves to prayer. True prayer gives focus to our lives and connects us to others. When we gather for worship, we pray, we partake in Holy Communion, and then we are sent into the world to share the good news by word and example. Keeping our eyes on Jesus means not staring at the sky, but reaching out to those all around us. And now I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and the cloud took them out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs, and they were staying, Peter and John, James, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. And the moving forward question today, the Catechism in the Book of Common Prayer defines prayer as responding to God by thought and by deeds, with or without words. What do you think of this definition, and what other ways would you define prayer? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us be a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing you're hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.